From Burbank, California, at Starburns Castle. It's the very first time that Harmontown is in session from the beautiful confines of the weird warehousey thing that is Starburns Castle. Let's bring up Spencer Crittenden, shall we?
What up?
Oh, yeah.
It feels good, doesn't it?
It feels in session.
It feels extra sexy.
Yeah.
Speaking of extra sexy, let's bring up the mayor. I guess a thousand times now. The mayor of Harmontown is Dan Harmon.
Woo! Thank you. Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us at a temporary location or whatever, an experimental location.
Is it not permanent? What's the status?
I don't know. I don't make big moves. I work organically.
Why do they call you Big Moves Harmon?
It's an ironic nickname. It's like in prison they called me Tiny because I was the average height is 5'5", and
So how was prison?
Prison was great.
What were you in for again?
Yeah.
I started watching this show. What the hell is it called? World's Most Dangerous Prisons or Inside Them or something like that. Or it's called Inside Them, World's Most Dangerous Prisons. It's some guy who has like a kind of a he's from wherever the shrimpy guy, what's his name? He's in the phone booth thing where he's got to talk on the phone or he gets shot. Colin Farrell. Is this guy that looks like him.
He's shrimpy.
He's a little shrimpy. I don't think he's a large man. I don't think Colin Farrell. They call him
a moose.
There's a guy, and he goes and he gets himself locked up in the world's most dangerous prisons throughout the world. There's a prison in Honduras. I guess that's the murder capital of the world. That's probably an easy title to claim, like best pizza or whatever. But there's the prison there. It's like built for like, I don't know, let's say 70 people. I'm pulling numbers out of my ass. There's like 700 people in it. It's like very overcrowded, as most prisons are. We are generating more bad people than good people these days. It's a buyer's market. At a certain point, it's like it's Escape from New York. They like pull the guards pulled out. And they just like rolled wooden batons like by the box in there and said like, whoever the people you trust the most are, they're the new guards. And so some of the murderers have sticks and that's their system. And it works really well. Like the guards can't go in there.
Right,
they go in there at night to lock up. I guess they have like it's sort of like
wouldn't the bad guys get the sticks first? Like wouldn't
the
they
the bad
want...
guys have the sticks?
Right,
as one would argue in all of society, it just kind of tends to be that way. Good guys don't want sticks, and so in this prison, like some of the rapists and murderers have been deputized to beat the other ones that get out of line.
But they're deputizing each other, like they're saying, "Hey, crazy guy, like you like sex, like how do they pick it?"
I don't know how they picked it. There's a guy at the top that insists he profits nothing from it, who says, while telling you, if you want a bed, it costs $135, and all this stuff. And the whole place has a kind of, I mean, everyone's like lifting weights and everything's very scary and everyone's kind of leering at you. But what you didn't see was like mass chaos. So it was just like this Colin Farrell looking guy going like, "Oh, I'm filling buckets of water, ho ho ho," and then he would go and talk to all the mucky mucks within this system, none of whom are guards, and then he'd like shoot pool with the guards on the outside of the system that the guards are guarding but can't get in. The guards' job to make sure that all 700 of these people don't at some point go, "Hey, there's 700 of us, let's all escape at the same time." That is their single task, is to keep that day from happening. How they do that, I guess it has something to do with the fact that what separates the prison from the rest of Honduras, which is like a chain link fence that you had at your grade school playground, which the drugs are just flying back and forth over the top of it. I think the people in there are kind of happy. The prisoners are, I mean, they're like, they'd like to be out if they could leave anytime they wanted, but they can't leave anytime they wanted, so they've created a society for themselves that includes weekend-long conjugal visits. The wives and children come to visit them. They showed that weekend happening, and there's no, if you fuck with the wives or children during that weekend, like, you, it's like, It you know, obviously there's repercussions. There's repercussions if you piss off the fucking murderers that have sticks. The law is laid down within that prison, and then the guard's like shooting billiards with the host of the show, who's saying like, "How's it? So would it work? Do you guys want to have control back?" Because one time they tried to take control back, and everyone just went, and wave their shirts around like strippers and threw garbage cans at them, and they had to leave. They're like, okay, all right, we'll come look for drugs later. And they were like, yay, we're in prison. We're free.
How do you think you would handle prison if you had to do like real time, like federal time?
I would
time?
Start by killing myself the day I was sentenced to prison because guys like me do not know what movies you've seen.
Now, okay, let's get specific. Day one, you're in prison. You go, okay, I want to kill myself. I'm going to be here for 6 years. I want to kill myself. How do you do it?
Because I do it in court when the judge says, you're going to and I go, bang, 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 I take his gavel and I stick it through my eyeball. I knew the rest of the word would be isn.
Right.
So I'm just like gouge, gouge.
You think you could make it from the desk you sit at to the gavel?
I don't know.
A bailiff like, shutting
it
you
down? I mean, look, it depends. If Batman was in the gallery, you know, like in that one movie where Batman couldn't even make it to protect Harvey Dent from getting his face tooed. Remember that movie where Batman's in court with his Batman outfit? They explain Harvey Dent's turning into Two-Face. It was one of those older Batman movies. There was a mafia guy, and he revealed he had a jar of poison on the witness stand, and he went, "Heh," and then it cut to Batman in the court going, "No!" And then it cut to Harvey Dent going, "Yikes!" and holding a manila folder across half of his face. Hence, his transformation into Two-Face.
A folder?
Yeah, I guess it's an older movie than you kids have seen. It's before
that was the Dark Knight Rises, right? Or Returns or something? This is the second of these Nolan Batman movies.
No, I don't think it was a Nolan movie.
Doesn't he hold up a folder in that new one, too? I think it's a folder.
I think everyone holds up a folder when Bane takes over because he goes like, I give you back your city! Hold your folders high! And everyone holds up a folder. I think that's right. What you're thinking of.
So Dan, you're a new gun owner.
Say what?
You got a weapon now. You got a gun.
I haven't picked it up yet because things...
Right, okay.
Because it turns out, it seems like it's as hard to usurp democracy as it is to maintain it. I feel like I feel like this whole country is just going
to
collapse.
Were you getting a gun to overthrow democracy?
I was getting a
gun.
Be
honest.
This is a safe space.
I was getting a gun to protect my soup and women.
Right.
In the event of total economic destabilization, which might result in my neighborhood looking up at my home, which looks like Victor Frankenstein's home.
Right.
Like in a village of people who only know that I've been robbing their graves to assemble some sort of monster. I just wanted to have a power tool in my home that
drills holes in faces.
In people that want water, you know, more than they want politeness.
Do you have fantasies about like actually like what I mean, you must because like you've bought a gun that what would happen like if somebody came up your steps and demanded your water
I would argue that is fallacious logic. I bought the gun because I don't have fantasies about what I'd do if shit went that far. That's why I wanted to buy the gun is from the impulse of feeling like I am not a person that could be relied upon in a situation of such heightened crisis that, no, I don't sit and think, man, I hope a guy comes up my sidewalk.
Well, I'm not saying you hope that happens, but like,
no, I also have a vague cloud of like chaos in my head where I'm like, well, look what has happened in the first 10 days of this presidency made me look at the 10-day waiting period that you need to get a gun as a crucial 10 days. And I now have what makes me feel very comfortable, which is a drive to Burbank waiting period. I have a gun waiting for me in a store run by guys who know how to use guns. I'm saying, like, I'm feeling better now. Maybe that's what the waiting period's for.
Right.
It's sitting over there. I can go pick it up anytime. It's probably better there than in my cabinet.
Well, when you were shopping around for, like, on our little Slack, what is Slack?
Slack, it's a coordinating app for communicating with teens. No, teams.
Teams.
I was thinking of Snapchat.
You're thinking of 4chan.
Yeah.
There's the Burbank firing line, which I've been to a couple times. I'm not a gun guy, but I've shot there a couple times with friends that have guns, and it's fun to go shoot a gun, but I wouldn't ever want one. But I just found out that indoor firing ranges, there's loads of fucking suicides. People go in there, and they've had 3 suicides.
Oh, people actually go there to kill themselves.
No, they go in there to rent a bullet. They go, oh, yeah, here's my credit card. I'll be right back. And they go, bang, and they fucking shoot their fucking brains all over the person next to them. And there's been 3 suicides at the firing line recently, and apparently that's not just there. It's everywhere.
Now, what do we think of that person? Is that person a bad person? Is that person a...
Yeah, they suck.
I think that person is a good planner.
I'm glad they don't shoot other people. It'd be so easy. And then, you know, it's just the people who would be at a gun range, so it's not like
right,
heroes.
Right, well, that's the first thing. They're revealing that in the throes of depression enough that life means absolutely nothing to them, that they don't do
something...
They don't
want to hurt people.
...that you could do if you thought life meant nothing, which right. is cheat at the Grand Theft Auto game of life and just go bling, blang, bloom, bloom, like just to see what would happen before you boo-boomed.
So in a way, gun ranges provide a valuable, like, suicide booth service.
I just think that's really interesting.
Don't think I could ever go back to a firing range and be relaxed. I'm not relaxed because you're holding a gun. It's stressful. The firing line in Burbank on Victory, I think. I went there once. I'd never fired a gun. They said, "Sir, have you ever fired a weapon before?" I said, "No, I haven't." And they go, "All right, so fill this out. You have to sign some waivers and shit." And they said, the first thing that you're going to shoot here is the .357 Magnum, which is a cannon. And they're like, this is to teach you some respect. And it was fucking bonkers. That thing is so loud and so scary that I couldn't ever relax. But now if I think that the guy next to me might just go like, I'm going to fucking go and kill myself. Like, it's...
Well, I think, look, you're going to laugh when I say this, but there's something very uplifting about that. We're constantly talking to... we're arguing with... between people, like... in a pre-Trump era, there was a big religious connotation that had to do with the division between the left and the right, particularly in the idea of, like, oh, what are we going to do if there's no God, there's no morality and all this stuff? And, like, the practical-minded atheists among us, the people, it's like, I don't need a boogeyman or a fairy tale or a superstition, not to devalue anything that anyone has a personal relationship with, but I'm just saying, like people don't need that in order to do the cool thing, to do the nice thing. An argument could be made that people are particularly geared to... That's a perfect example of a situation. You're holding a gun. There's literally a lane of people on either side of you. You've come here because you have decided that life itself means so little. You obviously aren't fearing that you're going to wake up in a pool of lava with, like, pitchforks going up your butt, because those people definitely make sure you know that suicide's one of the things that'll make that happen. So you have made your peace with chaos. You have made your peace with oblivion. You have an emotional thing going on in your head where the pain of living is so high that you just want it to end. And you don't, as you step out the door, do this horrible trollish thing. You know, that is not what most of us want to do. We are not held in line by getting away with it. There's no cops in this room. There's no cops, there's no cops in this room.
Well, there's one outside. He wouldn't let me walk in that door.
There are paid employees of Harmontown that could fucking kill you if I snap my fingers. Do not heckle me. But there are no cops in this room, man. But it's like we're not held in line by, you know, we're not animals. And these Honduran prisoners are, you know, I like the guy's like cutting vegetables with a guy that killed someone with a machete. And he's saying, it's weird. I'm cutting cucumbers and you cut someone with a machete. And he's like, huh, what? Yeah. So true. Chop, 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 chop. I don't know how that supported my point, but it was just something that popped in my head. It's a reason why I want to keep watching this series.
Are you getting a gun, Spencer?
I don't know. Should I get a gun, you guys?
Well, no.
I think I heard one yes and one no. So. So there it is.
No, you couldn't. You posted a very inner, but you're very passionately anti-gun.
I know a lot. I know a lot of things, and here's what I know: guns kill people. I don't want to kill people.
I gotta say, Dan, I know you don't like people. Being like gainsaid, but I don't like the gun thing.
It
makes me uncomfortable.
My decision to get a gun is not a thing that I don't expect to be gainsaid on. Okay, so you're right. I don't like to be gainsaid. What the fuck is gainsaid?
It's for the apocalypse.
I brought it up as a confessional thing because I consider that purchase I'm confessing about it. I'm not telling people that that I did the smartest thing in the world that I recommend everyone do. I'm sharing with people that these are crazy times and that we're all dealing with it in weird ways and that liberals are becoming anti-Nazis and anti-Nazis are becoming Nazis and, like, you know, the people who used to say maybe freedom of speech is overrated are now saying I love the Second Amendment. It's like it's confusing times and we're scared and how are we dealing with it and what do we do? And I wanted to, you know, I'm not a person with solutions and I'm not a pundit and I'm not an academic. I dropped out of college. I'm going to share what I'm going through. Like, I'm not going to leave a fucking molecule out of it. I bought a gun. I bought a gun because that's how, like, that's how close to the doomsday line it feels, the clock thing with the doomsday clock. What do they call it? The doomsday clock. I bought a gun because of the unknown. I didn't buy a gun because I thought anything specific was going to happen. I bought a gun because for my entire life of should I buy a gun, the pachinko ball of logic always ended with, of course not. And now we are in times where it landed somewhere else, and I think that's notable. I don't think it's admirable. I don't think it's inspirational. I immediately already, having since talked about it, I got a tweet from a guy that was like, which would you recommend? Where would you get the Glock thing? And I was like, whoa, shut it down. I'm not going to have conversations where I proactively influence your decision about these things. Like, and God knows we're minutes from another Sandy Hook, at which point it's going to take on another religious connotation of like holy shit, I'll be ashamed of myself for ever using the word gun again for a little while. Don't just value my candor, my confession, my honesty. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I bought this thing because the morning that after the election, I went downstairs and, like, after an evening of my girlfriend staring off into space, like, the moment she saw my dog sitter, they exchanged niceties, and then one of them said, how are you doing? And they both burst into tears. And then everywhere I went, everyone had been crying all morning, and then they had to dry their tears, and they were hollow people that had to get back to work. And I felt emasculated. I felt helpless. I felt like there was something I had to be able to do. I'm not Sirhan Sirhan. I don't think the thing I need to do involves the gun. I feel like I have no recourse to power. And that is an arrogant, narcissistic, white privilege, straight white male-like reaction that is notable. It's important to measure it. I bought a fucking gun. Like, does that mean I didn't delete my Uber app until it was important to defeat Uber because I was fighting another white guy. I heard 900 stories from women about how fucking horrible Uber was, and then the day that it was fucking, it was a way to give another white guy a black eye, I was like, delete. Like, I love Lyft now. Tell me about your podcast, you fucking weirdo. Our next guest is... We should bring out our guest. What am I doing? I told him, here's how the show works. I go up and I talk for 10 minutes, and then I'll bring you up. You're ready to go? I just met this guy on another show that I did. Let's just get to know him at the same time, because I said, you should come on my show. And he's a rapper and a creator of beats. I don't know if the title would be DJ, but his name is Open Mike Eagle. You go ahead. You can move everything you want. I can keep talking too.
He brought his own stool on stage.
Yeah, that's a power move, I think.
You're allowed to bring your own furniture on stage.
You bought a gun, I fucking bring a stool.
That's the Chicago way.
Not only is it just like I'm adding furniture to the mix, but also like you hefted it with such ease that it's like I'm a powerful man.
Yeah. I don't need a gun. I need it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a small stool, though.
I'm not saying it's...
I could move that one around, too.
It's the appearance of power. That's why it's a power move. It doesn't have to be a heavy stool.
He brought it up on stage like he made it. He carved that out of a single piece of wood.
Let's do a test while Mike Eagle... Chris, are we ready to do a test where we... what if I said I wanted to cut to a photo for... he's running. Okay, I didn't mean to do that.
No, this is the test. This is the test.
I didn't realize.
In the future, you might be able to. We could just walk, probably walking.
Or
speed.
I could. Yeah. Don't worry. Chris, what have I said? I want.
Yeah, we did it.
White people, and one honorary woman.
So, I want to.
How do they let a woman sneak into that fucking photo of creepy, gross?
This is the poster of Now You See Me Too, I think.
Look at
I want to talk about a theory I have about this photo, or rather an obsession I have about this photo. Now, assumption number one that I'm allowed to make because of the geometry of this photo. This is a tripod-mounted photograph. This is not a quick,
sure,
hey,
like
Secretary of Labor, labor us a photo with your Samsung while people hack it and so they can see nuclear launch codes in your fucking patio. The lines are lined up here. This is a tripod-mounted shot. It's been swiveled because any human in their right mind would center the desk in the frame. There are an almost equal number of people on both sides, unless you count homophobic pants over here, who I think was either... I'm trying to figure out if he's doing a power play and showed up late.
No, he set the timer. He was the guy that went over to the camera.
Wait, Jeff, no. I'm sorry, but
he ran in
the
there.
Camera's been swiveled. Do you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
The audience is right side of the frame, what you see is you can measure that line. You would take half of that line and you would put it over here if you wanted to know where the frame would be if this desk were centered. It would cut right across Pence's shoulder. And if Pence wasn't in the shot, by the way, over here, Herman Munster, Secretary of fucking crazy pumpkin head thumbs, a living golem from the, not from Lord of the Rings, from the Hebrew tradition, an animated man brought here for the purpose of vengeance.
And behind him, who has two thumbs and looks like Chris Farley's ghost?
That guy's head would be a little over to the right, which he wouldn't be bent like that. He is scrunching in because the camera moved this way.
Because
the camera moved this way. I believe that these two aren't getting along for good reason.
Yeah.
I don't think Pence was told this photo was happening.
He ran in last second.
I think he was taking a shit. He walked by the Oval Office, if that's where this is. It looks ovular to me.
I want to know more about the guy with the orange tie. No one wears an orange fucking tie. It's very clear that you wear red or blue ties. This guy's got a Halloween tie back there. Also, she only gets one thumb. All the guys got two thumbs.
It's a shame that women only have one thumb actually, for every two thumbs a man
women
has.
Actually only get 70% of thumbs.
Yeah. Women only get 8 oceans to every 11 oceans a man makes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Remember when the national conversation would have been about zero black people in the photo? Right. Like, it would have been just a talking point. It's not that we don't notice it. It's that we know they're white nationalists. And we have bigger fish to fry now. We're like, yeah, well, they're racist. They haven't made any bones about that. So we're moving on. Like because we're like, how do we get them out of there? Yeah. We're no longer policing them and going like, it would be nice to see some diversity in that photo. We're like, hey, is there anything in this photo that could show us their weakness?
Also, has there ever been...
Is there a kryptonite barrel in the corner?
Has there ever been a desk that big that didn't have a fucking book or a pen on it? It's a desk. He doesn't have any shit on it.
That's not...
He clearly doesn't want desks. He doesn't want to be at that desk.
That's not a good desk. That's not the desk of someone who uses a desk.
It's a good desk for finding the Book of Secrets if you... But remember Obama's first couple days in office?
Hey, Mike, keep it down, would you?
I was. Thanks.
I remember when one of the first things, because they have to... It was like, Obama with the Hitler mustaches. Oh, it's the end of the world. Obama's president. Oh, God. How will we live through 2 years of this, 4 years of this, 8 years of this? It's a black man in the White House. We're all going to die. And the first thing was, look at him. He's not even wearing his jacket at the desk, because the first photo was him with his shirt sleeves rolled up and he was on the phone, fucking papers everywhere, getting to work. And then somebody split screened it with Kennedy and it was like, yeah, I'm a civil servant. I fucked Marilyn Monroe, but I also, I want work to get done. All right, anyways, whatever. When did I become political? The answer is when we started dying.
There was a great Twitter moment where somebody posted this picture and said, what's this mixtape called? And then everybody was sending in answers. It was great. Mine was Male White Marauders. That's the name of this picture. That's a hip-hop joke. I'm sorry.
Let's talk about the fact that about hip-hop jokes and that we won't get.
I'm so full of those, yeah.
We just met. Like I didn't have time. I'm not going to pretend I'm like, oh, I'm a huge fan of Open Mike Eagle, but I liked what you were doing in the show that I met you in, and then I was like, after the show, like, you should come and do it at my show, but I know nothing about you. I know you're from Chicago. I know that you're, what was your upbringing like?
Oh, shit. It was fucked up. I lived, like right by the projects, like not in them, but kind of like right by them and shit. And I went to elementary school that was like nestled within the projects. So I lived with my grandparents. So my mom was fucked up. And yeah, I had to try to have like a normal childhood, except that they kept me very sheltered. And it was like gunshots and crack cocaine and all that. And you had, had uncles and aunts that were all strung out on shit. But they kept me in the house, so like I just watched a shit ton of like fucking cable television in the late 80s and early 90s a lot.
Raised by your grandparents?
Yeah.
And so what was their take on the world around?
Stay inside. Right. That was it. don't go outside.
Did they have, as a white naive question, did they have a take that was racially based? Like, did they have talks with you about what to do when the cops and blah blah blah, and what other black people do?
See,
and
my,
what blah,
my
blah,
grandparents
blah.
Were black people.
What?
From the South. Let me finish, okay? And what that meant is all of their talks were alarmingly racist, but not in like a not in a cute way. Like, I had a Japanese seventh grade teacher. And the shit that my sweet old grandmother used to say about that man was fucking awful. You know, like, she was a great person, but, you know,
I think
she
we'd
was,
all like to hear.
I wouldn't dare.
So we can cluck our tongues and also go, yeah, oh, just an example would be great, so we know how to judge her.
Yeah, she called him a bunch of shit that obviously was learned in World War II.
Oh, so she would say like actual slurs.
Yes.
So you wouldn't just use stereotypes. Like, how did she drive to
no,
teach
it
you?
It was slur. Cause she, you know, she, I don't know. It was just part of the lexicon for her to say those awful, awful things.
And now, but how did she feel about? Cause she's from a certain generation. Like, what was her and your grandpa's? It's like if they're looking at a Korean person, they might have all kinds of like comforting things to say about the other, but what was their feeling about how they fit into their government, their society, their neighborhood, whatever?
You know, it was more like keep your nose to the ground and work. They didn't have a lot of, we didn't have a lot of talk about identity. Like, my dad talked to me about a lot of that stuff. My grandparents, they were working people, and they worked, and they wanted to make sure we were safe and did our homework and shit. They could care less about a lot of, you know, a lot of social and racial identity and that kind of thing.
So they were just sort of like, were they Christian?
Yeah.
And so they were kind of like, just be a good person and go to church and, like, be, like, work hard and stay out of trouble.
Yeah, do your homework. Don't hit girls at school. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just real straight down the middle shit, you know?
And did you mainly adhere to that, or were you a rebel in your youth?
Nah, I wore corduroys and the sweaters that they brought me from Kmart with my grandmother once. So my rebelling would be not wearing my shirt all the way up to the top. That was my rebelling.
And what were you interested in when you were like sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, like going through puberty? Like, what did you imagine?
Were you scarred by that Japanese teacher you had? Did that fuck you up?
No, I loved him. He was fantastic. he was an amazing person. Mr. Matsumoto was fucking awesome.
Matsumoto, it's like easy to remember too.
Yeah, man, he's great.
I don't know,
he made an impression on me.
You could just start making up that name and find your way through it and still be right.
Okay, all right.
Look, I mean, maybe I'm on your grandma's side. Maybe I like to dehumanize. Maybe that and Christ are blankets I wrap around me at night, and maybe the world has no other options for me. No, but what when you were like pick your age, 10, 11, 12, whatever, but like at a certain, there's a point where your future is like all, you know, like what was the astronaut dream or the, like, I remember me and my best friend said we were going to get a boat. And we were going to sail into the Bermuda Triangle, and we were going to, like, just, like, find out what the deal was with the Bermuda Triangle. And we were pinky swearing. We're like, seriously, though, you know how old people get fat and old, and then they don't want to do that. And we were like, no, for real. We're going to look you up. And we're, like, we set a date, and I, you know, of course I fucked him over. And
I mean, my personal dream like that was that I had romanticized being like in like the Secret Service or some shit, but
really?
Only because in my dumb mind, the Secret Service guys were the guy, like somebody in the government knows everything,
right?
And it's got to be those guys.
They're the Secret Service.
Yeah. So they got to know all the secrets.
They're not the ignorant service.
Yeah. Exactly.
They have secret in their name.
So I wanted to do that.
It turns out they're just in charge of counterfeiting and protecting the president, I guess. I don't know. No, they're in charge. Yeah, that is an interesting answer. Like, I'm fascinated by the Secret Service, too. Like, I wonder, like, what their definition of a good guy and a bad guy is, like what you're supposed to do. Like what if the president grabs a hammer and goes at himself with the claw end of it? What's your responsibility as a Secret Service guy?
You have to, like, jump between him and the hammer. Like, you have to get in between...
Right.
Hammer and him. Yeah. Wow.
But what if the whole time he's saying, this is for the American people that I'm doing this? There's a microchip in my head. Like, are you supposed to, as a Secret Service guy, be like, that's impossible?
You have to.
Or are you
right?
supposed to be like, this is my boss?
Presidents have like fevers and shit too sometimes. Don't they wake up in cold sweat saying crazy shit all the time? Like,
and especially Secret Service if they guy has to jump in front of that virus. He has to get right in front of that sneeze that gave him that cold.
And the big question is, like, I remember when Obama got elected, there was a kind of doubling up of Secret Service efforts and things, which was simultaneously like, it's kind of like, by the millennial definitions, it's like, oh, we're racist. We're noticing he's a black president, so let's close ranks, everybody. It's like if you drifted further into the outfield when he came up to bat. Same thing.
I have a friend from high school, and my friend Mike Carpio, who listens to the show. He drives a cab in New York right now. He sent a postcard jokingly saying to a friend that was going to Chicago when I think George Herbert Walker Bush was president, saying like, hey, you're going to be in Chicago. Don't shoot the president while you're there. Ha ha. On a postcard. The next morning, knock on the door, two dudes in suits, Secret Service. And they gave him 100 questions. And among the questions were, are you homosexual? Are you a member of the Communist Party? Like and they they had the postcard.
So they haven't changed their questionnaire from 1955?
No. Same question.
Just boilerplate. Like, yeah. Still, hey, should we cut down on some of these questions? Hey, what harm is there in knowing if someone's gay?
Right.
That was someone at the meeting. They're like, hey, what do we want to know less? We'll wait for them to sue us, then we'll stop asking.
Yeah.
The noose doesn't loosen. Yeah,
we drove all the way to Whittier. We're not going to not know if they're gay or not.
But I am fascinated with that. The idea of what I was getting to is like, okay, so the Secret Service, how much does it get flushed and switched over for each president? Like, they have to have a professional code that supersedes.
Didn't the guy just resign? Like the head of the Secret Service just resigned, I think. Is that something I'm making up?
Can't keep track.
National Security, right?
No, but a different guy. I think the director of the Secret Service.
Right.
Resigned.
I think that was early
for personal reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like what I'm doing is literally called upstaging you. Like.
Oh, Mike, by the way, I just got a text. If you need to hook into all your gear there, I have the DI.
Oh, that's right. I got to do the other thing.
The DI box here. You need to go hook into this?
I do.
Because that's your lead.
How's everybody doing? That's good. Reading any good comic books?
Cool. Now, when you get back on the mic, I want to talk about all this gear you have here, because you got loads of shit.
I do.
That's why you brought a stool. This tool is not just a power move. This is an actual functional tool.
Yes, it's a thing used for sitting.
The reason why upstaging is a bad thing is because you stay back and you make the other person go like this. You're fucking them over if you hug the back wall. I learned that in trauma club.
Aw.
Upstaging. But I don't know. I was just okay. We could. That was a graceful segue, and I want to ruin it because I still want to talk about the Secret Service. Because I'm just imagining being a Secret Service person. I'm like, okay. So then a guy comes in office that's like, what if your wife is Muslim? What if you it's like what do they do? What a Secret Service guy? We'll have a Secret Service guy as a guest, and we'll ask him all kinds of questions. Or her. You're welcome. Let's get into the rapping portion of our show, which should last for now until 90 minutes from now. So
how do we want to do this? I got a bunch of shit that can be done. Just what do we want to do?
Let's just have an open source process. Start by giving me a beat.
Giving you a beat. All right. Let's see.
How did you guys meet? While Mike's putting this together, you guys did what show?
It's funny, we were both, I was a rogue cop, and then I had to say hello to my new partner. No, we just did this show.
Are you making beats on the fly right now?
No, I got something to set up, I think.
Now, are you going to lay down some stuff that you already have written, or are you going to freestyle for us?
I don't know.
Well, I don't have anything written to this.
You don't have anything written to this?
Not to this, no.
I do. Well, when you rap, you rap with your heart. You do your best to do your rapping part, because rap music is never going anywhere. It's in all of the water, the fire, the wind, and your hair. Mislead. Well, I'm a rapping man, and I'm here to sing. I want to rap about everything, but I can't. Not yet till I get a harmony in my heart. I want to do my part, so I bought a gun for some reason. The president's committing treason. Just by sitting in that office, I hear him cough his And I think, is he gonna die? And then I wonder why I'd be happy for somebody to be in pain. I'm on the hate train. My name is motherfucking MC. I'm gonna put every vitamin inside of my pee. I'm gonna drink it down and pee it out, cause that's what a recycling syndrome's about. If you're only drinking pee, then water is pee. And if you pee it out, it's twice as much pee, you see. So you gotta seek effervescent freshness. You gotta get back to what the quest was.
You can pee in Texas, and you can pee on extras. And if you can't pee long, you should stretch it out like I do, because I got a really small bladder. So I pee longer than I have to in the bathroom. I let people think I'm still going when I'm flowing, even though nothing is showing. Fuck it. Oh, shit.
Well, now what do we do?
Yeah.
That's the danger of rapping when you also are in control of how long the beats go.
Yeah.
It's also the danger of rapping that early in the show. I mean, how are we going to follow that with our bullshit?
Dan, you just dropped $4.
I guess with cash prizes.
Hello. That's like in video games when you beat someone up and they drop money.
I want to hear more, just more, like, you know.
Rapping?
More rapping. More extemporaneous freestyling.
That was a nice beat.
I had a good.
That was good.
All right.
So these are all beats that you made up yourself?
That one was. A lot of this is other people's shit from my songs. And what should I put on here?
What should we call that last rap?
Doing the rapping part.
Oh, yeah. That hook was great. That's great.
What is there any significance to the name Open Mike Eagle?
Yeah.
he sounds a little bummed out about that.
I pressed the opposite of a button.
Yeah.
I found the armchair snooze setting. I bored you to death.
No, it's not boredom. It's just that I should have a way better answer. And the truth is, my government name is Michael Eagle.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I'm just fucking Mike Eagle. And a rap a bunch at open mics. And so then I just smashed all that shit together.
But you didn't
made
feel
a rap
like,
name.
You didn't feel like Mike Eagle wasn't cool enough?
You know what?
That's the best name in the world.
In retrospect, you're correct.
It would be the thing to do now. Like if you started now instead of 2003 or whatever
Dan,
you started.
I think about it every day.
Yeah. But you can also
if you call yourself Mike Eagle, people will think you made that up. When you say my name is Open Mike Eagle, they go, oh, his name is Mike Eagle, and he's ashamed of it.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe that that's enough.
I didn't. I was overcompensating and got stuck in it forever.
But you can be like John Cougar Mellencamp and just drop the cougar at some point.
Did he drop it? I don't know what the arc was with that shit at all.
Because he was Johnny Cougar for a while.
Oh.
Then he was John Cougar Mellencamp, but I think he just went to John Mellencamp.
That was a great decision.
Yeah.
I'm going to draw upon his strength.
Because the cougar was thrust upon him, but Eagle, you were born with the eagle.
I was.
Yeah, so you can't escape your destiny.
I mean, I like it. I just didn't realize it was enough.
Mike Eagle.
I kind of feel like...
You know what it is? It's my dad's name, too.
Right.
And so I never thought it was fucking special.
Oh, so you're Mike Eagle Jr.?
The second or whatever yeah.
That's fucked up. Because Mike Eagle, like, you have to either be like a film noir detective or a stripper. Because Mike Eagle is good. That's a great name.
I feel like I'm in between.
I would read the Mike Eagle novels.
What?
No, I was saying, like, you could write a series of detective novels as Mike
you're
Eagle.
Right.
Like Sam Spade and fucking... Dashiell Hammett.
I think if he were to be a detective, it would go something like this.
Like this. Put a beat on.
Shit.
Before you get peed on.
I should. Whoa. Beats and pee. Goddamn it. That's the name of this segment.
I like this one a lot. Stakes are high, Dan.
Just giving it like a. It's a Why do you hold it?
I don't know. This is a sample from They Might Be Giants, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
The last one was, too.
Down you go.
Hear me call.
Yeah.
Temple words of advice.
Dan doesn't like this one.
No, I think he does.
Oh, I like it too much. I'm sorry. I was just listening.
You put him to sleep like a shark upside down.
Yeah, yeah. You ever teach? You're like, it's a, how about it? A gibberish. I'm talking gibberish. When I rap this fast, I gotta talk gibberish. Because I can't rap this fast and speak English. Because I'm rapping too fast to speak real words. I fucked your mama like I was watching birds. Took my binoculars and saw both titties. I fucked your mama coast to coast in both cities. Went to New York and Manhattan, Staten Island. Fucked your mama so hard she turned into a guy named Ryland. It's like a nephew of my girlfriend. It's a real name. Is your name Ryan or Ryland? Is it Ryland with a D or Ryland? It confuses people. Choose better names for your children. If it's Stephanie, spell it S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E. That's how we know how to spell it. If you fuck with that, you're gonna doom your kid to a life of correcting people.
Listen to this morning.
But if you name your kid Whoopajoo, spell it how? Whoopajoo. How you want to spell it, Whoopajoo. You're an inventor. You're Thomas Edison. Fucked your mama so hard, let us in to the kitchen like a vampire. I fucked your mama till I changed your pussy's tire. I jacked it up, I put it down. I changed the lug nuts and drove her ass around. I treated her with respect. Then the car wrecked. Took it back to Avis. Said, I don't know what happened.
Take it, Mike.
Yeah. I know what happened.
That's a lot to unpack.
Yes. There's condoms in the back seats. Why? I don't know. I had acne. He fucked my mother like some type of athlete. Or my mom? Why did I personalize it? I don't know. I don't have to. It could be your mom or your mom. It could be somebody's mom in Vietnam. Anywhere. There's nothing stopping this man from fucking anybody's mother. And this is the truth I have finally discovered right now. But he fucked all of our mothers, so that means all of us are sisters and brothers. He is a man of many lovers. As he has said, as he repeated, and as he said, he excreted all over nasty back seats, and then he returned the car like nothing happened, and it was full of used prophylactics. I'm like, dude, that's disgusting. Look at the semen you've erupted. It's like all over the upholstery. What is this supposed to be? And he still had to pay full price plus the cleaning fee. Because the people were like, we're not cleaning semen or cleaning pee. Because it's all about his liquids.
Because I'm ubiquitous with my liquidus.
Yes.
I'm going to evict this administrativeness from the oval office of this coffinus. I want to put it in the sarcophagus. I got the pillars. I got the house. I want to creep in there like a tiny mouse. I got superpowers. Going to shrink my ass down. Going to go to the Oval Office and go to Ground Round. It's a restaurant chain in the Midwest.
In the Midwest, we kick fresh. Not fucking with incest. They small like insects. Hide them like witsec. Witness protection. That's how we do it. Strangled in here or any section. Bend like the midsection. Maybe torso. Fingers get in their head like cornrows for twisting.
Just watch how we blow like ballistic missiles, cause the shit's wild, not in exile. Put flows together like textiles, smile for miles, never stopping. I'm Tech Hopper with the news in prime time. A light shine, they the one to stand for the 10th time. Break it down like enzymes when I get within rhymes. There's no space to be left between. Come back, have them dancing like Ben Vereen in they system. Got them hook addicted, nicotine, they a small figurine. I'm coming through pretty big pigs, wanna get shut down when I clown. And they don't understand this is that new SmackDown. Referee doing fast counts, 1, 2, 3. They can't move me. MCs, they think I'm in the Fugees, but I'm watching, show them double features in the movie. But it's all this, it's all that, we all fat. Not hit them with a ball bat, it's false start. They Walmart, they generic, we just a cleric. We stare at them, they get embarrassed when we share this. Freestyle.
How the fuck do you do that? Something special when you're growing up. Is there a tree in your backyard that grows a special fruit? Did you win an eBay auction that gave you a special lamp that you rubbed like a rapping genie? Oh! Meanie. I'm Kevin Meanie, who passed away.
He did pass away. I rap on a Saturday or Sunday. I move the crowd like feng shui when people rig maze of furniture. Yeah, I rap, but it's earlier. I will miss the furlier. That means I look through your window. I'll make you sick, enlarge your fucking lymph nodes like I was cancerous. MCs wanna get pressed up like beats on the master disc next to their name like Barry Bonds with an asterisk. After he hit the home run, I am the shogun that no one. I kill them like Africans with a blowgun when they're trying to do what they do, cause they're predators. Open cut your words up like a newspaper editor with iPad. I'm not drop dead Fred, that old school movie from the 80s. MCs will try to slay me, but they can't do nothing cause they feel smart as a baby. But yo, they got rabies and they think they sick. They wanna come through and do shit, but they just miss how we do it, how we do it. Hello, hi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I'm just sitting over here checking you out because you run upholstery with supposed to be. That made me very happy.
Incredible.
Fuck yeah.
Vincent
Price. Vincent Price breakdown.
Right. There's a like a me doing the Vincent Price bridge in a like yes. Your upholstery is scintillating creepy. The seat coverings are smotherings from the spider's delight.
Oh shit, Ice-T is here too.
Yo, they ain't personal. It's just business. Wanna fuck your mother? What is this? I wanna see her pussy to her mouth. I fucked your mama from the north to the south. It ain't personal. It's just me. I put a bullet in my pee. I peed out the bullet like a gun. You telling me this motherfucker's done? I'm Ice-T to the I to the C to the E and every T, and it rhymes. Everything rhymes with T. That's all me. Ice-T. Yeah. Yo, I gotta go. I'm gonna get an ice cream. So don't confuse that with what my name means. My name comes from the streets. Yo, my sore feet. They get sore when I walk. I fucked your mama.
Oh shit, is Jimmy Stewart's here too.
I saw your mama was outside. Well, I, obviously I need a B.
Oh yeah. Well, that was kind of a smooth one. I like that.
It wasn't no drums in it though.
No.
That wasn't gonna work.
We can take a break and talk about you again.
Okay.
Now that there's heightened interest in you.
Is there? Is that what happened?
It's not some skills thing or like, yeah. Like So now we're at the point in your life, you're being raised by your grandparents.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Oh, what?
No, I forgot that we were talking about the past.
Yeah. Like, there's a point. So where are you? You're not like a six-year-old on the playground that's into hip-hop, are you?
No, I was into... I mean, this is the thing. Like, where I grew up and when I grew up, rap was just there. Like, rap was there. Like, my older sister, my first rap I heard, I got in my mom's car, and she was playing fucking Eazy-E's first album. It was fucking 1987.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's when I was in high school.
The suspense was making me sick, so I opened her up, and the bitch had a dick. I heard that in my mom's car when I was six, and I was like, oh, my God, all these curse words. This is fucking great. But that was just what was all around me. So, like, at least at that point in my life, I wasn't like, oh, God, rap is awesome, because it was just life. And so I actually escaped into, like, rock music and shit that I was seeing on MTV.
Did you associate rap at that age? You were kind of like, this is, like, almost like maybe what I associated country western with. Is like, this is my parents' music. This is grown-up shit. This is, like, so did you reject it, kind of, is what
you're saying? It wasn't so much that I rejected it. It was just, like... the soundtrack of my surroundings.
What was the first record or rap group that you got into? Like, was that your own discovery, that your own shit?
Tribe Called Quest.
Oh, yeah.
So all of that shit. Like, all of the De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, the Brand Nubian.
I was really bummed out when Fife died.
Yeah, man.
I didn't realize until I read an article at De La Soul, because I was always like, why wasn't De La Soul's fire? Why didn't it burn everything down? And it was like, there was sampling legislation that happened that I had no idea had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
That a lot of their sound was like very, very...
And they were part of the original lawsuits that changed hip-hop forever.
Yeah.
Like, they were sampling like the Turtles and just interludes and shit. But there were no standing laws or no history for how you go about punishing that. And so... the copyright law for hip-hop started with them and started with Biz Markie, and then it became... like illegal to the point where the record labels and the guys who own those masters could sue for the amount of money that would just kill a whole project. It could kill a whole label. It could put everybody in a bankruptcy, and it changed hip hop forever. That's why hip hop can't sound like it used to. Like the records that I grew up loving are all illegal right now. You can't make any of those.
Do you think that when we go to music in general, even if, like, maybe our grandparents went to Elvis for the same reason, or Little Richard or whatever, like, are we going to music when we're in the mood to fuck or fight, and that's why conscientious music, like a message in your music, like, it's gonna never like win that stock market battle where it's like, hey, over here I'm selling Arrested Development. Like, I thought, like, in the 90s I was like, it seems so much harder and so much more worthwhile to try to rise above the equally charismatic stuff, like that Eazy-E thing you're talking about. I remember the white guys in the locker room, just like everyone knew it by like syllable, like everyone had it memorized, and it had infected everybody. I guess because it was just for the same reason that who knows, like what the I'm doing the twist or whatever the fuck, like it's always been it's the same as rock and roll. It's like, oh, they're talking about fucking, and they're talking about anger, they're talking about something my parents don't like, and this is finally authentic, and it's been too inauthentic, and now it's authentic. But the problem is that authenticity never goes hand in hand with, like, is this a question, Dan, is what you're wondering?
No. I think it makes perfect sense.
Authenticity doesn't go hand in hand with, like, oh, here's an idea. Authenticity tends to go hand in hand with, I want to smash someone in the face. I shot someone today. I'm horny.
I mean, you know, what it is with hip-hop, and I don't know if this speaks to
other genres.
I think
it is with rock
genres.
And roll, too, but it sticks out more with hip-hop.
I know that when I grew up, when hip-hop was starting, there were hella options in terms of the type of content you could get in a popular rap song, even.
Not upstaging him getting a drink.
It's all good. You could have N.W.A. and you could have Public Enemy, and all of that was able to exist in the same space. What I think happened with rap music is that ultimately the rap music that aligns more with, like, our overarching cultural values, it becomes easier for that to spread than things that are talking about going against that.
Do you think part of it is because if guys are rapping about being poor and how they'll always be poor and how being poor makes them angry and how they and the kind of lower class lifestyle being maybe not necessarily applauded by the protagonist in the music, but certainly being coped with, being celebrated. Do you think that maybe part of it is because that's a that's easy to digest for everybody, including people who can stay racist and like good music?
Right, but what I'm saying specifically about rap music, like, because if you look at like Dr. Dre's The Chronic album, and that album changed like everything, because it was one of the first times where a high profile rap release was overtly about like fucking and money and, like you said, shit that people could identify with, no matter if they liked or identified with the people making it or not. Right. They could identify with those values. Like, those are cultural values overall.
Right.
And I feel like once people are able to dial into that, then that shows the mode of hip-hop that was able to become more dominant.
Right.
You know, because it cuts
across.
It's almost
like we're talking about there's two different areas here, and I'm because it's like, the thing that I always hear over and over about that historical era of hip-hop was like, oh, well, the white people flooded in. Like the suburban white kids that don't, it's not identifiable, but it's still charismatic.
Well, the music was good, because I was a suburban, I still am a suburban white kid. Like EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, N.W.A., Too Short, like all like the West Coast stuff. Like, we all listened to it because the music was good. Like, the quality was really good. The production values were really good, and their records were actual albums. Like the whole record said something. It wasn't just a bunch of bullshit. And rock and roll wasn't doing it then. Like, the rock and roll had kind of gone away.
So we rejoin Open Mike Eagle's biopic. You're hearing Tribe Called Quest the first time. So and we're still, as far as I know, because I want to hear the point where you actually are seduced by hip-hop.
Okay, that's high school for me, because I first identified with, like, Tribe Called Quest, Bonita Applebaum, like, and I'm seeing images of people, of, like, black people who, like, are cool, but they're not, like, I'm trying to be hard cool. Yeah. They're like, it's okay for me to be unique, it's okay for me to rock these weird Afrocentric baggy, and I wasn't able to do that either, but I saw, like, self-confident people who weren't like trying to portray like the hardest image. Mm-hmm. And to me, that created a space like, oh, wait a minute, there's room for me in this culture too, because I wasn't reflecting those other values either. So that was the first thing. And then in Chicago on the South Side in high school, there was this place called Promontory Point. It was this park district where they had this like city sanctioned breakdancing class. But what the hip hop community in this city used this as this meeting point for people who were into all of the hip hop arts. So people who were doing graffiti, people who were freestyle rapping, people who were breakdancing, people who were DJing. They all got together at this place every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. And like that just flicked something in my head. Like, oh, wait a minute. Like, this is not just some shit to listen to. It's some shit you can actually do.
Right.
And like taking that layer of distance away from it and making it something that I had an entry or access point into.
Maybe intellectualizing it. Maybe, but not to that sounds punitive to you, but like I that's how I experience emotion. So I need to logically realize that it's the right thing to do, that it makes sense to do it, that it's strategically, that it doesn't compromise me, that right. It doesn't take anything away from me, that it's a proper way for me to, it's like, oh, hugging my girlfriend is a way to maintain that, like, I'm just wondering, maybe if you're, you know, if you're a verbal thinker, if you're a logical thinker, you grow up in that atmosphere, and you're like, then in that moment, you're like, wait a minute. And if I could speculate, going like, because something that I had to, like, back then, I remember going like, somebody had to tell me, or I read it somewhere, they were like, no, don't you understand that that going like this with a record in the 80s is like the only recourse we've provided kids that used to get tuba lessons,
right? Exactly.
And that all of the sampling and all and everything, beatboxing, rapping itself, everything, all of it is it's an expression of, it's like banging on pipes right. underneath a fucking subterranean, not underneath a subterranean thing. That would, don't let me do this. I was like, oh shit. Like I had to have a logical, I kind of have to parse it in sci-fi terms myself. I'm always like, oh wait, okay. This is the robots and these are the people and this is how we fight and this is what we do. And maybe that happened to you kind of in that moment where you're like, wait a minute. What do all these things have in common? They're unsanctioned.
Right.
They're not.
What was the threshold for you, Mike, when you listened to stuff, you got turned on by that music, and then you started saying, okay, now I have to go get equipment and start making it myself. Like how old were you?
I started rapping just at 16, right? So and I was seeing people rap at that place, freestyling. They were getting in circles and freestyle rhyming. And so, like, me and my friends in high school decided we were going to do that. And so from, like, the age of 16 to, like, 24, all the rap I ever did was freestyling.
So that's why you're better. I started at 42.
Well, then, yeah. 10,000 hours, you know what I mean?
That's not true, Dan. You've been doing it since you were 20, and you've been bad at it the whole time.
I started taking it seriously last week, okay? Right.
Mike, can you give Dan some pointers? Because tell him to stop saying the word mouth, because he knows he's just going to have to say south after that.
But then there's certain
pitfalls that you fall into every time.
Do you rap a lot, for real?
In this show, yeah, I do.
Okay.
And truly, in this show, I'm like because it started as a gimmick in the show, the idea was I rap badly. Only by virtue of doing this show every week for years, I'm getting a little bit better. Yeah. Don't tell anyone I said
that.
No, you're not terrible.
It's just practicing.
It's like right. light training.
And that's all it is.
You have your moments, Dan.
That's all it is.
Once in a while, Dan will lay down a really good rhyme. Like, he'll actually...
That's the thing. That's the thing that fascinates me about rap, because unlike piano lessons, which I regret ever bailing on and stuff, but here's this thing where it's like you taught. There's people who labor. The relationship between freestyle and writing raps is just really fascinating to me. It deep core fracks the fascination. I'm not drunk. I'm just making up new words like Shakespeare.
Also, it's 9/11.
Don't let that alarm you.
It was a little scary.
Yeah.
It's a little scary. For the uninitiated.
Well,
let me remind you, still scary.
Just so you know, our fans are crazy people. Okay. They're crazy.
Well, here's the thing you did just before you launched into your most, when we were doing it before. I was like babbling and I was doing bits and I'm like going blah, blah, blah. And then like, it was literally, I watched you, like I said like sassafras and then you were like, I'm going to start rapping. I saw that on your face. And then because I was just like, and by sassafras, I mean pineapple. And you're like, pineapple, apple, babble, but like you could have gotten away with, in your head, you had the option of going with sassafras as a point of departure, but you were committed to a Last Dragon-like flow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's all it is. You know, it's just making connections, you know, but in real time. That's all it is making, like, and
the enemy is starting to think.
No, the enemy is stopping. That's the only enemy is stopping. You just keep going. Just like when me and my friends first started,
but
we
I didn't
were all
hear
fucking
you.
Horrible.
Okay.
And what we used to do, we would get on the phone and call each other old school three-way, right? With no beat. And we would just start rapping. We were fucking awful. And our whole thing was just don't fucking stop. You know? And then, like, what you start to do after a while is build that catalog of words. So then it's not mouth and south. It's about and trout and
right.
route and gout and
the
all
rhyme,
of that.
The rhymes don't have to be actual complete rhymes. There can be sounds. You're just riffing on sounds.
Yeah, you don't even have to rhyme.
Yeah, exactly.
You just got to keep going.
Some of the best lyrics in music history, there are no rhymes.
Right.
Like, there's a song called Moonlight in Vermont, which is a beautiful lyric, and there's no rhyme in it. And you don't notice that. It's just a great, it's a beautiful lyric. It's a poem.
Somebody requested
you. I can't sing it. We'll get sued.
I was in, I did this study with the National Institutes of Health. I freestyled in an MRI machine.
What?
Yeah. I did. And like, I'm a co-author on a fucking National Institutes of Health study about improvisational freestyling.
You got an MRI while you were freestyling?
Yeah, no, like they loaded me in the machine.
Can I make a guess? I'll probably be wrong, but I would guess because words appear as for me they're visual.
Mm-hmm.
Does the same part of like facial recognition, like spatial recognition, come up? Like what part of your brain lit up in the MRI?
Well, they said, okay, so they've been studying this because they started with studying like improvisational pianists in there. So they had this little keyboard you can put in there. so like they're trying to figure out the brain parts that are active when people reach what's called the flow state. And that's any improvisation.
This is a lead with this. I mean, keep going.
But so what they say is like language turns on, but like forethought, like the normal frontal lobe thought turns off, and you start thinking with like more reptilian brain because you can't overthink it, like you said.
But you're still using language. It's like your reptile brain is shooting lightning through the forebrain, but the forebrain's being used as a fucking silencer and a pistol or any other tool.
Unfortunately, the results were filled with jargon that I didn't understand at all.
On your part, you mean in your raps? Where you're like, I'm in an MRI and I got a dick in my eye. And
how do you not rap about being in the MRI machine? At least for the first 10 minutes.
It's hard to rhyme medulla oblongata. You know.
I feel my optic nerve heating up. I feel my frontal lobe cooling down. All right. And you're like, I'm trying too hard. Pull me out.
All right, no, but what part of the brain is active when you're in the flow state?
That's the thing. It's a combination of lobes, and I'd have to send you the shit because, like, the front part turns off, and a couple of like parietal, temporal turn on. Like, it was a complicated thing that they were showing happens.
They put like chess players, like chess masters under CAT scans or MRIs, and they showed them images of chessboards like of a game, like in like middle game or end game or early game, like openings and stuff like that. And the same part of their brain lit up that is the same part of your brain that lights up when you see a face that you recognize. And you go, oh, that's Dan Harmon. Oh, that's Mike. Oh, that's Spencer. They see chessboards as people.
We should all be spending a lot more time in MRI machines. Like this technology is important. Like, we should all just be spending like 6 hours a day in MRI machines and pooling the results.
They get a lot of money to put shit in MRI machines to see what happens.
Like, Dan, you were saying that you got better. Like, you've been getting better at being in the flow state, rapping over time because you can actually rewire the synapses to create. New flow.
Well, that's what I think is interesting. It's like, well, because remember the Ken Kesey metaphor that you told me about. Like, you ever read Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test?
I never read it. But
Ken Kesey, he had this metaphor that for being in the moment, which is the same thing you're talking about, this flow state. His metaphor was that you walk up to a player piano with the roll going, and that you, of course, if you didn't know how to play piano, you'd be like, you could try to play this weird game where you tried to like imitate the keys, and this is also in Westworld's title sequence. But Ken Kesey had this like concept of if you take enough acid or if you get enough in the moment,
your fingers fall into those.
Your fingers will start to get so fast because what's stopping you is thinking about observing the keys and blah blah blah, and then the further philosophical concept was that you could get into that state so much that you could finish the song and then look up and see that the player role didn't have the end of the song on it, that you had known the song itself. So it's the same thing. And Olympic athletes say essentially the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like because people want to know, for very good reasons, how the fuck did you jump that high?
I mean, but isn't it similar with writing, too, though? Because, like,
of course,
like, most people
I'd like to think so.
Right. Most people can't like consciously remember like the mind state they were in when they wrote their best shit or had their best ideas. Like, kind of you're in the moment so much that you kind of separate from it.
Even when I have an amazing show like this one, I'm in a total blackout. I don't know what's going on. I'll find out later that we won a podcasty. That's what's interesting to note is that it practicing shit. It so often has to do with actually. You have to learn some shit, but then it's like...
You gotta unlearn
thinking about it.
Well, did they say that, like learning a craft, like learning piano, if there's genius inside you, the craft will liberate the genius. So working on something, like working on rhyming, working on music, working on writing, the hard work that it takes will liberate the genius inside you that was always there.
Well, can we try an exercise? Let's just go back and forth, like dueling banjo style.
Okay.
You can just, like, you're teaching me to drive. You just do a little bit, like, what's the definite, what's a good, like, short attention span? You do, like, a couple of, you do a little bit, and then I'll do a little bit, and then you do a little bit.
Are we going beat, or are we going acapella?
Oh, should we go acapella?
I mean, maybe we can, just, you know.
All right,
it's up to you. I say put a real simple beat on. I got one of them, but yours are going to be better, I'm sure.
You got, what you got?
Well, I was, Harry Foster, he gave us some beats. You want to try one of his?
Then we'd have to switch the deal.
No, you do yours, because you have your finger on the knob a little better over there.
Let's see.
Yeah, but yeah, do a little Harlem Globetrotters pass and back.
Red leather, yellow leather. Hip hop to the hippity hop.
Dan, can I give you some improv advice? Overthink it.
That's so good. You just came up with that right now?
Look, see, Mike, he's already freaking out.
What the hell is this?
No, I'm losing it. Look at me. I'm like the air.
I am the sun. I'm the air. Shit, I don't know what I got.
Yo. I'm not even saying yo because I'm not thinking about it. Whoa, water, ocean, waves, sky, fucked your mama, came in her eye. Okay, see ya.
See, now, why does it always have to be fucking somebody's mama?
I don't know, because I think about that, because it's edible.
Okay, but look. I'll stop you right there, because you're doing something that a lot of rappers, freestyle rappers do. It's called having a crutch.
No.
That's not... That wasn't meant to deflate. Like, mine used to be, when I first started, mine used to be when I'm on the mic, right?
I love
it'd
that.
It'd be like, my name's Mike Eagle. When up on the mic, I say hi to people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, every fucking bar was that. But that's something people do, and yours happens to be fucking your
mom. Second verse, same as the first. A little bit louder.
My name's Jeff Davis, and I'm here to say.
All right, well, so how do you deal with crutches? Did you take a hacksaw to them?
Yeah, you become conscious of them, and you just try not to. But it's there for a reason, because we do that to help us fill the time between what we said and where we have to get to.
So like my therapist would say, when she takes me through meditation, she says, 1,000 times your mind will wander, 1,000 times it can come back.
Bring it back.
In other words, so if I say, fuck your mama, you guys don't start like booing and throwing chairs. It's my mind. I got back into the old habit, and you note it, and you become increasingly aware of the crutch.
Because what you'll do, you'll just find other ways to get to where you have to get with the timing, and you just won't say that particular thing every time.
All right.
Yeah.
By the year 2017, it's now. I'm not gonna fuck anyone's mama in a rap. Rapping. Rapping.
It's that easy, people. It's that easy.
Salt, pepper, fork, spoon. A sun and the moon. I got a solar system that's going round and round. I got my voice in my brain, and the brain is the sound. I gotta flow through the rap. I gotta flow through the people. Here's the motherfucking church, and I don't go to the steeple, cause I go to the altar and I pray to God. I drop down to my knees and I let him through my body. I want to get down with you to the break of dawn.
Go, Mike. Go, Mike.
Hey, he didn't fuck one mother in that at all.
No mothers were fucked in the course of that rap.
Yeah. No mothers was fucked, no uppercuts. Make bread like the company butternut with the squats. How we do it when we wash them seeds that think they old when they come through getting washed. And yeah, gotta stop and take it back.
back. That's how we do it, because the flow's never whack. But how we do it, that's another crutch. And you can go back to that one and try not to say it so much. Yeah.
Yeah, nudge so much. You don't do much and you don't do such. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you do what you're gonna do. If you don't do what you're gonna do, you do what you've always done. I'm gonna have fun and run in the sun. I'm gonna be on the beach and make another one of my buns by cooking it in an oven and I'm putting it in the shoving with my dick and I'm a, okay.
Yeah, you put your dick in the muffin if you want to. Fuck the bread impromptu, yeah. That's how you gotta do it.
That's how we're doing when we're making the new music. It's translucent. See through your own brain patterns from here to Saturn. It doesn't matter. We can scatter just like Scattergories. And you can listen to this new rapping story. What?
Well, rapping like a table. If you look at your mama, it's up to fucking what? All right.
All right, take it easy.
Go with the flow. You're gonna laugh at some things. I'm gonna go high and low. I'm not thinking about what I'm saying anymore. I'm praying for what I want to go through the door. I want God to come in and light us up. I want to suck the devil's dick and spit it up into the devil's face until he comes from his eyes. I want to give you all a spiritual surprise. I want to go up to heaven and pray to God. I'm going to say, everybody come down, and General Zod's going to fight Superman, but he can't win. It doesn't matter who he brings. Superman's going to win. He's going to shoot him with his laser eyes. Christopher Reeves died. We didn't want him to. We didn't want him to.
Oh, yeah. That was a breakthrough. That was a breakthrough for us.
That was great.
That was fucking, yeah.
I wanted Spencer to rap. Spencer's not going to rap at all.
I'm not good at it. You gave Dan you gave him freedom to free fall a bit.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
there's that feeling of abandon there.
That's right.
Yeah, I feel like you need to come back every week so I can have therapy sessions like that. Like,
I'll come back 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Well, we have technically a half hour left until the show ends when we usually end it. We usually end it with a rap.
Well, I do actually perform rap songs professionally.
Yeah,
so if I could do...
Well, this would be a good time for a musical guest.
All right.
You.
I'm here.
Open mic Eagle.
How much should I do? Should I just do... I'll do Very Much Money. That's a great call. I was going to do that anyway.
Does it make you nervous for me to be sitting here, or should I go off stage?
No. This is fine. This is actually a very loving environment we've created, and I really fucking appreciate it, man.
Yo. Oh, sorry.
Restaurant crown on my hip like Simon Petrikov. Thought of a song called Thinking of Master Plans. Thinking of rocking, drinking in Amsterdam. Cafe, back room, meeting with Cancer Man. Engineering project like astronaut. The first scene in the film Prometheus. I wrote a brand new story that starts from there. Just need some help with the financer. But hello, my name's Mike Eagle. How the fuck are you guys doing tonight? My friends are superheroes. None of us have very much money, though. They can fly, run fast, read Portuguese. None of us have very much money, though. They know judo and yoga, photography, politics. Some of them leap over buildings. Writers, magicians, comedians, astronauts. None of it mattered when Nickus was hungry. My friends are superheroes. None of us have very much money, though. They wear the same underwear as billionaires. None of us have very much money, though. Hustlers, beat makers, drug dealers, sculptors, egomaniacal authors and bloggers. Some of them talk to the animals. None of it mattered when Nickus was hungry. That shit's not valuable. Come say it to my face. That shit's disposable. Come say it to my face. It's not authentic, though. Come say it to my face. This device might cure my remembering. I'm 87% sure.
I invented it. High adrenaline, I'm rapping on the cake boss. Name on the dressing room so I ain't lost. Commencing countdown, take off another soundstage. Rehearsing a fake spacewalk. Lil Wayne is an ancient African. Jay-Z's been around since the 20s though. The only new ones is Lil B and One Below. We only got 100 months to go until your hometown's covered up the tons of snow it goes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little Indians. When it's all over, I survive on a pending of chips. To them inflate with memory sticks and I'll flash. Take a picture, cause I won't remember. That shit's not valuable. Come say it to my face. That shit's disposable. Come say it to my face. It's not authentic though. Come say it to my face. That's so ingenuine. Come say it to my face. My friends are superheroes. None of us have very much money though. They can fly, run fast, read Portuguese. None of us have very much money though. They can make hair grease out of fruits and herbs. But none of us have very much money though. They can take selfies like Du Buffet. None of us have very much money though. Thank you guys, man.
Holy shit. Amazing.
Yes, man. You guys are very kind.
So, do you drink? Do you get high?
I've been drinking in front of you this entire time. But I also usually get high, but I didn't know what the fuck was going to happen here. And that's usually a really terrible time for me to get high when I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I would freak. I don't usually get high before this show because I'd be curious to go back and, like, look and, like, mark the ones where I got high. I remember a long time ago, I there was one show I did coke before the show.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought a gun. Did you come here to elect someone? Or did you come here to hear about fear and weakness?
Yeah.
Before Adderall became a permanent part of my life, I would do coke if it was in my pocket. And some people put it in my pocket. I'm not a rocket. I'm just a light socket shedding light on the cocaine truth. I'm going to fuck your mama like Don Bluth. I'm going to fuck... No, I'm just kidding.
Say it to my face.
Don Bluth is an animator. He's not a hater. He's a celebrator. He did All Dogs Go to Heaven, and he did the sequence from Xanadu where the bird had the leg warmers on it.
Wait, that's a full-on drum kit there? That's fucking badass.
Yeah, dude, like, each one of these on... Man, this shit is so goddamn complicated.
Wait.
I love that. Yeah, you can hit any of them. You can hit any of them. There's like 64, and he's just rested one a lot. Jeff's got skills, is what the fuck Jeff's got. There we go, get funky.
The things that are funny are happening too fast for me to explain them. The first was that he walked up and said, "Is this just a thing?" and did it. And then after a while, you said, "You can do it." And then it was the fact that he was just hitting the one.
Wait, show off for us a bit, Mike. Like, show us what that thing can do, because it's a bunch of white squares that don't say anything on it. You have to know where they are.
Like America. You have to program those white squares to make a beat of democracy.
Well, so yeah, this one is just this is just noises. This one's just so this one is a synth on here, and there's also a drum pad on here. This one is coordinated to here.
Now it lit up.
Yeah, because this is page six. This is page five.
Okay.
And that's coordinated to my software here. So now when you press these buttons, it's triggering the shit coming from Ableton over here.
Yo.
It's pressing all the buttons. It's all going to happen at once.
Yo. yo, yo, yo.
I fucked your mama last night.
But it's just a grid of squares. I mean, you, I'm sure like some AM DJs use that, that's just filled with farts.
Yep.
What is that called? A soundboard?
This is called a launch pad.
All right. Is that the brand name?
That's the
for the kids out there that want to be an open mic eagle.
It's a Novation launch pad mini.
All right. So there's one final chapter of your story, though.
Okay.
Because
you're gonna die tonight.
That's right. I knew that.
That's what Dan didn't tell you is that we kill all of our guests.
Yeah, no.
But something took you. You were at that event. There were break dancers there. There were people there. And you're like, wait.
Did you ever do any break dancing, Dan?
I've dabbled.
I bet.
I mean, put a beat on so we can see some of that shit.
I pop a little more than I lock, but overall, the popping and locking's been done. I remember being like... when I was like, probably, I don't know, I might have been seven, anywhere from 7 to 9 years old, like when breaking and when it was like break dancing was the thing. It was before your time. You're younger than me, but it was like everybody was going like break dancing, the latest thing in the streets is gangs no longer have to have violence. They can solve their problems with dancing. That was really the way it was being. And there were all these movies coming out like Breakin' and Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, and all this stuff. And it was like, and my brother and
Beat
I
Street.
Would mm-hmm. we recorded the movies and we would play them back until the fucking tape heads were seizing and the static, the screen was almost static, and we were just trying to like look at what the people were doing and like, but that's not how you become a breakdancer. It turns out.
I mean, we did pretty much the same shit. Just watched the same movies. We just had some people around us who actually knew what they were doing. So we watched them and we watched the tapes and we just tried to emulate.
But is there, in Joseph Campbell's hero's journey, we got you to the goddess point, which is where you go, oh, shit, okay, I'm open mic eagle. I'm gonna rap now. And so what follows that is usually a punishment of some kind, some huge challenge, if your life has adhered to traditional story structure. Was there a point where you were massively challenged when you, like, entered the fray and you're like, this is what I'm going to do now.
I feel like I started with a damn challenge. You know what I mean? Like,
that doesn't count.
Shit.
That's like a hobbit saying, like, it was hard to leave the Shire. We know. I'm asking you, when did you get your ass kicked after you decided?
I get my ass kicked every day. That's what I'm like.
There wasn't a big one where after you were like, I'm open mic eagle, I'm going to rap. And then, like, was there any point where you were like, fuck, I'm fucking dead. I'm dead. And then you were like, you woke up and you were like, I'm alive.
It might be right now.
Yeah, I mean.
I guess it's okay for the answer to be no.
No, I mean, I really do feel like my whole career path is like I'd signed up to take lumps every fucking day.
Well, that's what open mic is. So maybe let's talk about that. So like you step on stage, like what is that like? Like do you remember the first time you went from making a decision like what do you do? Do you pace your living room, your grandparents' basement and go like, I'm rapping. Like, at some point you sign up for an open mic. Do you have a like?
Well, I used to host all the open mics at college, and that's really when all that shit started. And so high school, rapping on street corners, basically, and then going to college and doing the same shit, finding the other people who get together and rap and break dance and all that shit, right? And then this band that I used to get on stage and freestyle with sometimes, because in the early part of my career, that's what a show was for me, was showing up somewhere where somebody else had music and fucking freestyling, because all I knew how to do. They wanted to book me, they wanted to bill me, and they wanted to pay me. They were like, you gotta have a fucking song so you can perform. And so I had to like write 4 songs and memorize them so that I could perform on a show and not just be like Mr. Freestyle guy.
Have you ever been booed? Like, how hard does it get?
I've never been booed, but I've been ignored. like that's how my shit tends to be, is people don't like me. They don't usually feel the need to come up to me and say, I don't like you. They just fucking do some other shit and don't. You know what I mean?
That is kind of the worst.
Don't pay attention.
I did shitty improv in Milwaukee, and like when you were on fire, you were on fire. And then the worst moments were actually
just the sound of dinner plates clinking.
Yeah, that type of shit.
People clearing their throats. Someone walking up and going, when is this over?
Right. Right, yeah. I would open for people. Yeah. You know, like, I would get booked to open for people who had fans, and I didn't have any, so I was trying to get theirs, and they were like, no, we don't like you at all. You know?
Do you have a zone that you go to if you were to walk into a venue and be like, all right, there's three people here, and they didn't expect you to show up. Would you be able to just do what you do? Or are you, like, a slave to, like, people's, like what the venue is?
I don't know if I understand that question.
Well, how much does it affect you, like the energy of the room?
A lot, honestly. You know, and I do a lot of shit in
what if I told everyone here to just boo you for 2 minutes while you did it? I don't know. What am I doing?
Yeah, why are you thinking like
that? I thought
like
it would be a fun experiment, like a weird, like, boo, and you're rapping.
I heard a good story. My friend Wayne Brady, who does Who's Line, he was doing some corporate events, like some big company, like a major corporation, and they had all the money in the world. And the main stage, that was a room for like maybe 5,000-10,000 people, was for Huey Lewis and the News. And because it was the end of this corporate weekend, nobody came. Because they all want to go home or, you know, fuck about, go to the bar, do their thing. And nobody was there except for, like, you know, 30 people in the front row. And there was this giant empty warehouse of a space that they had paid, you know, Huey Lewis and his band, like, you know, a couple hundred grand to play at. And Wayne said he went there and he said they played like it was Madison Square Garden. They completely fucking did it like there was a sea of people there. And they played as hard as they would have, as like if it were filled, and that was the most show busy thing he'd ever seen, like people saying like I got my money, my job is to come up here and perform. Fuck the audience. Fuck the turnout. Our job is to get up here and play. And like Huey Lewis and the News is a shitty band. they're not great, but they've
the
got
views of Jeff Davis do not reflect Harmontown the podcast.
But. I give that band 100% credit for being absolutely amazing.
I just want to quibble. That's not necessarily for a person who's performed for two people doing improv and stuff. Right. That's not fuck the audience. That's the opposite.
No, we have.
These two people.
Exactly. 30 people showed up here. It doesn't matter if there's not 30,000.
Right. Fuck the lack of audience.
We play for the front row and we play for the back row even if they're not there. And that show business. Fuck. I saw the B-52s played a thing and there was only 70 people there and they just, like, they hated the audience because there weren't enough of them. Like, you still got paid.
They might have hate in their hearts for the venue or something. Open Mike Eagle. Can I call you Open?
You can call me whatever you like.
Raised by these grandparents who were, let's call them solipsists. Like we don't know that. Like they were like, keep your nose to the grindstone,
sure.
Stay good, stay out of trouble. Why be like these people outside the front door who are like causing trouble, reacting to trouble, all this shit. You stay the course. Then you come to this plot point. Oh, I could rap though. So, your messaging, are you selfish or are you altruistic? How do you view yourself philosophically?
I'm very selfish because my whole aesthetic is about the value of my own art. Because it's like that shit I was saying, like when I first encountered hip hop and the aesthetic value was on everybody pretending to be the hardest.
Right.
Right. And to me, that so devalues the individual experience of seeing somebody else could be living right in that same community with them. But suddenly, if I'm not hard, then right. My experience is somehow less authentic than the next person's.
Right.
And my whole shit is railing against that. So I write about whatever stupid shit I want to write about.
That's what I thought I heard there.
Yeah,
was
absolutely.
Like fences put up, but in a healthy way, or laser turrets where you're like, that's fucking, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You sound like me in therapy. You're like, but there's a health to that. That's interesting. I'm glad you said that. I don't know.
Because to me, it's for the overall health of
like especially the black community, because that's a toxic
to
ass,
understand that they can be an individual and like feel how they feel.
You say Avenger woo woo?
Individual. Was I was doing Archie Bunker going, that could be an individual, for Christ's sake, Edith. That's what cultural like movements lack for all that they provide. They draw from the bank of individuality. And when we talk about white privilege, why am I explaining this to myself. When we talk about white privilege, one of the biggest privileges is the privilege to be like, I'm a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Exactly.
And here comes a beat because I'm talking like a hat. I got a hat on my head. And no, I'm kidding. Don't.
I was gonna.
Don't. God damn it. Don't do it. No, but that's very like that solipsism. That's like I only care about myself. But there's a difference between that and like malignant like fuck you. I'm only out to get what's mine. That's different
because it's not a greed. It's from a humanist.
It's like who am I?
Yeah,
that's all you know? I can possibly know.
And it's like every human's experience is valid and valuable. Starting with mine, but not to shit on anybody else's, but this is my time at the podium and I'm gonna do my shit. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. Cool. Like my therapist is bummed out about it because she would say you are closed, Mike Eagle.
And then her job
is to open you, and I thought like that's what I'm encountering is like, because I have all these like mechanisms, like I can detect anyone that's going to tell me what to do from 600 meters, and their head will explode before they knew what happened to them. And now I have to understand that that's not keeping me alive anymore. That's actually going to kill me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a fucking therapist. No, I was gonna challenge that, but then you're talking about a professional who's helping you, so I probably shouldn't do that.
And she's pretty good, and the more I listen to her, the happier I get.
Well, that's great.
But it wouldn't be the same advice for you.
What was your challenge, Mike? What were you going to say?
Well, I mean, is that what's going to kill you if it's also like what powers you, what makes you vital, like, you know, like what is
and right now we're having all these arguments. I mean, this is a person who like says like, oh, don't go on Facebook and Twitter, that's secondhand smoke, and then Trump got elected and she was like, whoops. Not that being on Twitter and Facebook would have stopped him from getting elected, but at the same time I was like, come on, man, like this is different from dangling chads and like riling yourself up before you go to work in the normal world. I'm off on a tangent, but like I have like debates with her about the difference between defense mechanisms that are making you happy. One of the things that she said to me most recently that I thought was really interesting was this idea that like your brain with all its fucking fucked up chemistry, it's like imagine all these like cars whizzing around and you can focus on any one at any time and they all intersect. So like you might be having a day when you're like, fuck the system, and you might be having a day when you're like, my back hurts, or I'm afraid of death, or like all of these, and I love babies, and I miss my dog, and I like the color blue, and I'm not starting to rap. You don't have to give me a beat. You fixate. When you fixate, like when you're, so like if a leopard was chasing you, the car you'd follow, mixing metaphors, would be, I gotta fucking get out of here. Right. And that's a healthy version of fixation where you're like, why would you want to talk about Stanley Kubrick's movies while you're running from a leopard? It's going to kill you. So we have a tendency as the chimpanzees that we are, that we evolved from, we very easily fixate on danger things. And when you're in a conversation with somebody, when you're in a thing that's challenging you, she's like, look ahead. I'm not asking you to not fixate on shit. I'm asking you to fixate even more and look all the way ahead to where that car is going. Is it headed toward a brick wall? Is it headed toward another call? Do you want to blow up? Or do you want to be friends, get through this alive, be a good boyfriend, like get another drink, end your show well? Or do you want to follow the car that's going to explode? I'm probably disservicing her metaphor, but that's my new thing. You've been with her
for quite a while now, right? The same therapist?
Yeah, yeah.
But do you find her, because you have an ability to, like your...
To reform my neurology?
Exactly. Like, do you find her a... do you find her a peer, like intellectually, like you can listen to her and like and dig what she's saying, or like, or do you instantly want to shut her down, like because you have the ability to turn things into mythology? And
no, I find her to be somebody who's like super duper smart about shit that I have not had time to study or think about, which is specifically neurology, the way the brain works. Like, she doesn't care. She doesn't go like, you should stop drinking. You should be a better, you know, she's like, how are you fucking up? Like, how are you like keeping yourself from being happy? That's too punitive too. She's just more like, here's how brains work. Here's how you could be a superhuman, kind of. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Sometimes how often do you go?
Once a week, at least. You know, I have to do you applaud go together? Someone going to...
Do you go together with Cody, or is it singular?
That makes me... Now I'm going to go to her once every 2 weeks. Because I still have to work on that aspect of myself. I don't like approval. It makes me suspicious.
You love approval.
Not from those people. You know what they are? They're a grid of white squares. Hit it. Are there any... But like, in that solipsism, because I made you... You were candid with me. You said that, which kind of amazed me. I didn't expect to hear that answer from you, but I was like... So, like, but you want everybody else to be happy, right?
Yeah, no, I would love for everybody to be happy.
And so, and you and I both believe that if everybody kind of focused on, like, knew who they were and knew when they were lying and not lying, like, that would be the beginning of, like, the solution,
right?
Maybe.
A great place to be.
How much of your lyrics are about that? Like, are you talking to...
Well, 40% of them are about Cheetos.
Are you talking to yourself? Are you getting your own stuff out, like off your chest? Or are you trying?
I don't talk about like my deepest therapy shit. Like, I don't talk about that type of shit. But I tend to honor whatever creative whim I'm in a moment, and that mostly tends to be about some conversation I'm having inside of myself. Now, that could be about the world. Or it could be about what the fuck it's like right now on the stage. You know what I mean? But if I'm sitting with a beat and I want to write to it, my whole thing is whatever nugget or seed that I get, I'm just going to follow that to wherever the fuck it goes.
Right.
All right. Well, let's do it.
Wait. Oh, shit. We're going to
demonstrate our new skills and our therapy and everything.
Oh, by the way, Spencer, real quick.
Guys.
I'm going to roll... I'm going to roll dice on my new gnome druid character this week, and so we're going to start that shit next time.
Now, I heard tell it wasn't going to be a gnome druid. Are you reneging on that? Is it going to be a gnome druid again?
No, it was originally an elf druid, but I saw your drawing that was a gnome, so I'm going to go gnome druid.
All right.
What do you think? Should it not be a gnome druid?
I know that's what he said last time. Say again?
Didn't we agree that it was going to be a gnome druid?
Say again.
Didn't we agree that it was going to be a gnome druid?
Yeah, and then you texted me on Saturday that you didn't want to do it anymore.
Dear God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far, far away.
You know, druids can turn into birds.
No, I'm going to be a gnome druid. I chickened out, but I'm going to commit. Is a gnome druid okay?
Yeah, no, it's great.
You seem bummed out about it.
I think Dan's bummed out about it.
Dan doesn't see or hear us right now.
Yeah.
He's just ripped on Adderall.
That's
right
a
now.
Good point. He's so focused.
I'm gonna roll my stats and bother you for a week and a half about my new character.
Yeah, it'll be great.
But I think you should close it for sure.
Oh, shit.
Close your eyes. Keep closing your eyes. Only now I command it.
So Spencer,
Dark Lord.
A gnome druid is okay, right?
Yeah, gnome druid is good.
I am the Dark Lord of Darkness.
seems redundant.
People call me redundant. I'm not a pundit. I'm gonna run it down. I'm gonna put a feather down with a pillow round. Yo, no, not yo. Yo is a crutch. Yo, here we go. My name is Morpheus. I'm gonna adore Theus. Don't think, just rap, just flow, just go, just put your head on your toe.
The flow state.
When your head's on your toe, you gotta go to your soul and go down to the buffalo. A buffalo is extinct, but your mama's pussy's so deep that it's like a sink, but that's not an issue. I need a tissue. I'm gonna cry. Because I miss you. Because you're my baby. Oh, Valentine, I said maybe. Oh. I gave you earrings. I gave you a ring. Oh. I gave your mama's pussy so much it started to sing. Your mama's pussy has a larynx in it.
I'm your mother's pussy.
It sings out loud. It sings higher than a cloud.
I'm deep like a sink, like he says.
Your mama's pussy.
I'm your mother's pussy. That hasn't changed.
Your mama's pussy.
I'm a singing vagina.
There's three holes. Let's list them. Hole one. Hole one's where the fun begun in 6000 BC. It's where the hole comes from the PP. Every woman needs to urinate, but that's where the world started to get created. When the pee stream comes out of hole number one. That's hole number one.
Hole number one.
Hole number two.
There's
hole
two
number two. That's for doo-doo. It's called a butt when you poop through. What your colon gonna do? You make the poop with the food, and you eat it when you poop it out, when you're in the mood. Hole three.
Fun time.
Hole three. Episiotomy. It's the birth canal, you see? It's where the babies come out. You see? Are they going to have them for tea? Are they gonna, okay, we don't have to. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Hole three.
I'll throw anything at you.
Please do.
Golf ball?
I'm off, y'all. I can't do nothing. I need to press the move button. It's like the move house in Philadelphia. Somebody, I'm asking you to help me. That's what I'm doing. I'm on the top of the water just like Kelpie or Kale. Doesn't matter. I can fail. I can struggle. I can sail. I can do all of that across any body of water. I can body slam you like I was Sergeant Slaughter and the G.I. Joe, but he was the hero, villain. Doesn't matter, he was chilling in his little A shirt. Y'all can't make May hurt. That's what I say, and that's what I do. I slide through, I'm like Link when he's fucking capturing or rescuing Zelda from Hyrule in high school. I played that shit, and that's what I do. But I already said that, so now I repeat. You gotta throw me more things. I don't know what the fuck.
Hip hop!
That beat was too short. Is that it? I think that's it.
All right, close our show with one of your fucking awesome. What do you, are you willing? Can I just order that like a pizza?
Of course.
You want to do one? Just do your thing.
There's nothing I would rather do more.
All right.
I'm gonna do this song I just wrote a couple weeks ago about how I don't want people to invite me to their weddings. Okay.
So don't invite me to your wedding. You didn't invite me to your funeral. So I'm not gonna be on time. You didn't invite me to your funeral. So don't invite me to your wedding. You didn't invite me to your funeral. So I'm not gonna be on time. Yeah. No backflips and no somersaults, and I'm gonna toss every invite that I come across, and I'ma fight this shit like an underboss. Yeah, yeah, some guilt there, but it won't grow. Heartbroken, I don't know. You can ask me if I'm gon' go, but I recommend that you don't though. And I don't care who gon' be there, you can save that shit for a single man. I'ma sit here in my studio, elbows deep in a Pringles can. Yeah, instincts say run, run from you. My brain's so uncomfortable, everything's so combustible. I don't even know one Huxtable. I'm not gon' front, front for you, no subterfuge. Why can't play bum, bum, but shoot? And I'm tryna write a dumb something new. Yeah, yeah, this must be some kind of joke. Saw that big dumb envelope, might've looked like maybe I was down. I had my foot on the ropes. Yeah, I was blinking and thought I was down. Now think again, when you brought it up, I was blinking and thought I was down. Now think again, yeah. Got a limited time on earth, so what's your sideshow worth? I watch your slideshow first. Yeah, I'm focused, I'm Joe Dirt. Yeah, yeah, after all, let's play some tag or basketball. If it's collared shirts or slacks involved, y'all can keep the dress code, that's for y'all. You ain't go to mine, I ain't known you then, ain't known you long, ain't no new friends. Yeah, we all get it, you go with him and you go with her. Some let's smoke some herb and let's order chicken and baked potatoes. Most of weed and just play some Halo. Please, oh, please don't make me fake, bro. I say all this cause I hate to say no. Hate to say no, hate to say no, hate to say no.
So don't invite me to your wedding. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Thanks.
Open mic eagle.
Open mic eagle.
I believe we are back at Nerd Melt, Meltdown next week, right?
And thank you all for having me, and thank you all for being cool.
For God's sake, please.
I really appreciate it.
Google the guy here and get into him. Next week, we're back at Nerd Melt, Meltdown.
Hell yeah. I'm trying to play closeout music, but my thing ain't working.
There's going to be technical
difficulties. Oh, shit. Where's my thing at? Where's my thing?
Or you could just put on an open mic Eagle beat and we can use that as our outro.
Play one of your beats out and we'll do it. Oh, the stool went down. Power move.
It was a display of power. yeah, we're going to be back at Meltdown next week, and we'll keep testing this facility and, like, whatever.
I love it. Let's hear it for open mic Eagle. That's fucking amazing. Yeah, play us out, Mike.
I hope you'll come back.
Play this out because my thing ain't working. Spencer Crittenden, everybody.
And I think we'll be playing Pathfinder next week, I think.
This week, Dan and I are going to roll characters and we're going to play D&D Pathfinder style next week for real.
Next week for real. Next week for real.
One more time for Open Mic Eagle. That was fucking better.
Next week for real.
Dan Harmon, your mayor. I'm Jeff Davis.
Next week for real. Next week
I would
for
say
real.
Drive fast and take chances, next but we're in Burbank now and the cops are fucking
next
wild.
Week for real.
So next really week drive for fast real. And really take chances.
Next week for real.
Dan, you want to freestyle us out into a booth
next
game?
Next week for real. Tell your mama to get the banana peel. I'm speaking gibberish when I tell the English. English. That's not real rap. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Thank you. We'll be right back.